and open them up while I get this PowerPoint set. On a Wednesday night family fellowship night, we like to open up God's Word together and have a devotion. It's not a full-blown Bible study, but it's a devotion, a time of specific focused study. Usually in a devotion, you want it focused on one item or one principle or one thing. And tonight I would like to look at claiming a promise from God. It's something that every Christian must be able to do daily. If you would start, would you go to John chapter 5? John chapter 5. And claiming a promise is literally living by faith. A promise is something written down from God to the lost in regards to salvation or to the saved in regards to His faithfulness. A promise from God is a pledge of something that God will do today for us or in the future. Or it's a guarantee that He has done for us that will never change. Now here in John chapter 5, look at verse 24, please. John 5, 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Here is a promise. It is a conditional promise. Conditional because it is given to someone who hears the Word of God, believes in Him who sent me, that God the Father has given His only begotten Son into the world, that through His death for our sins, His burial and His resurrection on the cross, or His resurrection from the grave, gives us eternal life, gives us, here it says, everlasting life. And the guarantee shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death, spiritual death and separation from God, into life. Life with the Lord Jesus Christ, everlasting life. It is a guarantee, it's a promise, it's something that you can take to the spiritual bank. And so when you claim a promise, you see God's faithful word and God the faithful one standing behind it. When you come to an understanding of that verse or truth or passage, you can claim it as yours. I know this is true, that I have eternal life. Why? Because I have believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I shall not come into judgment ever again, but has passed from death into life. Now, the further you dig into a promise, the more clearly you can know it and the more specifically you can claim it. Here it says, you shall not come into condemnation. It means never, ever. Ume in the Greek means shall not ever come into judgment again before God. You've passed from death unto life. And as Julie was speaking, that's eternal security. So when you're claiming a promise, you see something that God promises, I will. I will do something. I will give you eternal life. You will not come into condemnation. The fact is you've passed from death unto life. Your response and mine is simply to believe it, to receive it by faith. I believe what God has said. That's it. You hold on to God's promise. He doesn't change. His word doesn't change. And now we know by faith that He will fulfill His word. As Robert said, God might even answer prayer. No, He promises to answer. In fact, repeatedly He says He hears our words. He's listening to us. In fact, He sometimes will even answer far before we have even asked. So again, when you think of a simple verse like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. A simple promise to all those who believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's as simple as opening up God's word, understanding what He says, and believing it. It is now mine. You can never wear out a promise of God. Thinking of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You will never wear out that second tense sanctification verse. It's not for salvation. It's to be in fellowship when we sin and are broken in our fellowship with God. He restores us and forgives us. So, is it by faith or by sight? You must take God's word by faith. It's interesting, as I was studying Abraham and teaching him and the principles down in El Salvador, you see over and over he walked by faith, believed the Abrahamic covenant, then he would walk by sight, and he would doubt God's word, and he would go on his own understanding, his own strength, and he would go to Egypt, he would try to have a child outside of God's will, and such. So the question again is, by sight or by faith? Now think about this, the promise of God, continual presence of the Lord. I will always be with you wherever you go. Now this is not to the lost, this is to the saved. And He promises every one of His children, I will always be with you. That's why a child of God should never have fear. Because wherever I am, God is with me. He says He's by my side, He says He's holding my hand, He says He's living within me in the person of the Holy Spirit. So He's always with us. Joshua 1:9. The Lord is with you. Before you go into the land, Joshua, don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. Don't worry. I'm going to be there right with you the whole time. As He took over leadership from Moses. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I am with you. Financial struggles, financial difficulties, parenting issues, marriage issues, job issues. Don't be afraid. Go to your Lord who is with you right there. Giving out the gospel, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, He says, Lo, I am with you even to the ends of the age. This has always been a comfort for me when I'm on that airplane at 31,000 feet and the turbulence hits. And you're going up, and the trays are going and moving. The Lord is with me. I'm not going to fear. Because whatever is going to happen in my life, He has already ordained it. And so, I'm in His hands no matter where I go. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, please. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, this promise does not change. The difference is whether you believe it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, whether it's yours or not. Some of my favorite clothes are the ones that I've worn many times and they're soft and they fit me and I enjoy them. It's like a promise. You use it over and over and it becomes yours and you can use it in difficult situations because it's right there, under the surface in your thinking. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, say this. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And I like this last question. What can man do to me? If we're fearful of men, we're fearful of situations, we're fearful of what could happen to us. What can they do to me? The Lord is with me. He's never going to forsake me. He is my helper. I choose. I will not fear. So to claim this promise, how do you claim it? God states, I will never leave you. I believe that, Lord. So now in my darkest hour, whether I'm in the hospital or whether I'm going through some very difficult situations, He says, I'll never leave you. This is where Elijah broke down after he had done the Lord's will on Mount Carmel. And sacrificed all the prophets of Baal under the law and killed them. Then Jezebel accused him. He ran. He forgot the Lord. He ran from his circumstances and his situation. The Lord says, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. And our response, boldly say, the Lord's my helper. He's right by here, enabling me, strengthening me, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:17, The Lord stood with me and strengthened me that I could preach or make known His word to all the Gentiles. And I'm not going to fear. Ha! What can man do to me? Again, this promise is comforting. Again here, never, same thing as John 5:24. The word never in verse 5, I will never, ever. Ume in the Greek is a double negative, which means never, ever. Absolutely not. I will not forsake you. That means He's here today. That means He's here in the pulpit. That means He's here in the seat with you. When you go out the door, wherever you go, He is there. Comforting. A promise to claim, to believe. And as I saw Abraham's life, he walked by faith in the Abrahamic covenant, and then he walked by sight in his circumstances. Then he walked by faith, then he walked by sight. And God had made this unconditional promise to him, a covenant, eternal, unconditional, and literal, that it was going to happen with a land, a seed, and a blessing. And when Abraham walked by faith, he enjoyed the promise of God. You have a land as far as you can see, east, west, north, and south. You're going to have as many children as the stars of the sky, as the sands of the sea. And God had to repeatedly go back and tell him, this is my promise. This is my promise to you and to your descendants. I will. Now will you believe me? That was the essence of his whole question. Will you trust my word? Then you can say, I know that you are faithful to your word, Lord, and I wait upon you. That's the hardest. Because once we have the promise, we want to give it up and see something circumstantially and run. But you hold on by faith tenaciously. That's what fighting the good fight of faith is. Now, just for fun, look at this quickly. Abrahamic covenant. He promised it, and Abraham departed in Genesis chapter 12. Immediately, he received the promise. Then, he built an altar in response when God said, look at the land. This I've given to you and your descendants in 12:7. And he built an altar in worship. Then again, after he went down to Egypt and he came back, God renewed that covenant again, and finally he worshiped and built an altar. Each time he's responding by faith. Then, in Genesis 15, he believed the Lord. But in between, he walked by sight. In between, he saw Hagar and the encouragement of his wife, and he functioned in unbelief. Will he trust the Lord or not? Then in chapter 17, he took the entire chapter to go over the covenant again. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your wife's name. We're going to circumcise all the males, every one of them. This is going to be a sign of my covenant. And we're even going to tell you the name of your child. It's going to be Isaac, meaning laughter. Will you now believe me? He had parted a sacrifice. He had brought the burning vessel down through it when Abraham was asleep. He had visually shown the stars and the sands and everything, and he struggled. But in the end, Abraham was willing to offer up his son, and at that point, he reminds him of the covenant again. So I saw, that's what it is. That's how you claim a promise. God says it, you hold to it. It might be one you memorized 25 years ago. You hold on, because God is eternal, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and we hold on to that promise by faith or by sight. Our natural tendency through our sin nature, through this world system, is to walk by sight. And God says, I've given you my word. I stand behind my eternal word. Believe me. He says, I will. I respond by faith. I know that He stands behind it. So think about these, just a few promises that we could claim. We have a whole booklet of promises up in the track rack. But he says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now the Philippians had been generously giving, and God says, my God's going to supply all your needs even when you give. And so in this time of financial difficulty and despair, maybe you are going to be pinched. Many of us probably will be in the months ahead. But you know what? God says He's going to supply our needs. In El Salvador, in Myanmar, where their economic distress is much greater, this promise is very, very precious to them, where they're eating meat maybe once a month or less, and they're having great needs. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is a response to the fact that God has promised, I will give you the Holy Spirit, I will sustain you, I will give you strength, so you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just like in John 15, he says, without me you can do nothing. It's the exact opposite. So in James 1, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And he gives liberally. Do you use this? This is a promise I seek to use multiple times daily. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, what would you have me to say? Lord, how should I think in this situation? I will come again. Do you think that's found much in the New Testament? It's in every book except four. And three of those books are single chapter books. Every New Testament book except Philemon, Galatians, 2nd and 3rd John say, I'm coming back. I've been studying Revelation lately. And repeatedly, I'm coming, and I'm coming swiftly or quickly. I'm going to come. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. This is our blessed hope. Every day you should claim this promise. I should claim this promise. Every day it's a purifying hope in 1 John chapter 2. That it cleanses us because we have this expectation that at any moment He could appear. Therefore our thinking and our behavior should be consistent with our Savior. I'm coming again. I'm coming. I'm coming. I believe that, Lord, though it's been a long time. But with you, 1,000 years is but a day. So His return is imminent. His grace is sufficient to supply our every need. He will strengthen us. He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. He'll provide wisdom for us. And we claim that by faith. I believe you, Lord. So I'm not sure what issue you're going through today. I'm not sure your relationship with the Lord. But you can claim promise after promise after promise by faith. It's something that Abraham had to learn, and he failed. God communicated not in 66 books, but in one small covenant. I will. And Abraham missed the promise on a number of occasions. And you and I can learn from that and come to the same conclusion in the end. My son, he said to Isaac, God will provide, for He has promised. So when you're thinking about God's Word and you see His promise, this is what we sing in Trust His Word. Trust His Word, trust His Word. All God's promises are true. Trust His Word. When your pathway disappears, when your joy gives way to tears, when you're plagued with doubts and fears, trust His Word. For all God's promises are true. Let's have a short word of prayer before we continue. Heavenly Father, thank You for this opportunity to gather around Your Word. And it is true. And thank You, Father, Your promises are sure, for You stand behind them. And Father, I know that in my own life I walk in unbelief often. And thank You for forgiving me my sin and cleansing me from unrighteousness. And thank You, even Heavenly Father, for using us as frail vessels. Thank You that the gospel is going out, believers are being built up, and even we're able to use Your strength to reach the lost. Pray, Father, that we could continue to learn and to grow learn and grow in our understanding of believing Your Word and claiming those promises, those divine and precious promises. Thank You, Heavenly Father, now. I ask that You direct with this evening in Christ's name. Amen.